been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. I got a recovered voice. I'm happy to be speaking today on the call. How you doing, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think a little bit better than the Ravens felt after that game on Sunday, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, we got to start the show with this, unfortunately. Video came out Monday morning on TMZ of the Ray Rice situation that happened in February. Putting it lightly, Ray didn't come off that well, and the Ravens decided to terminate his contract. The NFL has suspended him indefinitely, so they kind of decide when he can come back, if ever. But this video, that is a terrible, terrible thing to see. It made me feel terrible. Like, I felt disgusted just watching it. It's something you never want to see anyone go through. You never want to see anyone attack somebody like that. But what was your first thought after seeing this video? Because like, the thing that I'm kind of torn about is that if this video didn't come out Monday, he'd be playing next Sunday, you know? And now he's fired and he's suspended, so he can't play anymore. Like, what was it about this video that made everybody change their mind about this whole situation?
Brandon, where do I start? I mean, this whole thing's a mess, from stemming from the game to this. Obviously, this is the forefront, and it hasn't gone away. Everybody's talking about it. My first reaction is, wow. I mean, going back in the earlier parts of the year when this first broke and it happened, I was like, okay, you know, maybe they gotten a little tough, and you know, whether she's conscious, what she was drinking, you kind of like put your own story about that. And then when, you know, the whole apology, and it just even makes you sick, because we try, it's almost like, one, because I look at Ravens Nation, one being family, I look at our players as family, and one with the fans, we're one heartbeat, we're one fan base to the players. I mean, other people might have their own opinions, but that's how I feel. I feel that, you know, what we do day in and day out, we do the shows are one heartbeat. So it's almost like your own family doing this, and it's just you support them. And what I've been hearing, especially when I heard it, not only that, but the sour taste of the loss, and obviously we'll get to cover that, but then I get to wake up this Monday morning, it was just I didn't know what to do. I mean, I woke up, I'm thinking, why is my phone blowing up? And then all of a sudden I'm seeing all this stuff, and I had to watch the video, and it was pretty damning, man. It was evidence is, I mean, how plain it stays you can get. And my first thought was, oh, he said he was defending himself. Well, this doesn't show that. So that was my first reaction. And then, you know, like going back, it was just like one of your, you know, family members doing that. And just you're being lied to. And just, I didn't expect that from Ray Rice. I expect a little bit more, you know, the whole play like a Raven mantra. And it's just, man, I don't know, man. I mean, the evidence speaks for itself. If you watch the video, I mean, obviously, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, where a video's worth 1,000,000, because it says it all there. I mean, you see him sucker punching him. And then on the flip side, you know, the whole – everybody. I mean, I've never seen a story this much talked about before. And, I mean, everybody was saying, well, how about – you know, her, you know, playing the victim and the video getting released, and how she has to relive that. And there, I mean, you can point the fingers and you can dissect this 100 million ways, man. It's not going to go away. It'll go away by towards the end of the year. But for right now, The best counter against this situation is the win. That's what I said all along is, okay, well, put this behind us and the Ravens can go from here. They can rise up as a team or it's going to make them crumble because I don't know if there's anything of a must win at this early in the season, but I'm telling you right now, if the Ravens win Thursday night, that'll exorcise some of the demons this week. But if they lose, it's time to hit the red button and start panicking because the way they played on Sunday and between this news breaking, between the Orioles right now on the cusp of a division playoff berth, it's this. I don't know what to think, man, because it's really, really disheartening to see one of your own players do that. But at the same time, you got to pick up the pieces and it's time to play ball. But I just feel sorry for the guy. You got to pray for him. Hopefully he gets his life back on track. I mean, I have a lot to say because I was at the practice when everybody stood out and applauded him. And be honest with you, some people were asking, I was one of them. And there's a lot of reasons behind that. I mean, do I take that back? No, because again, you know, I've already said this openly on the show, Brandon, I've gotten in legal trouble before. And it's that whole second chance thing. Okay, you screwed up, you paid your dues. But then when you see this, it's like, okay, you know, it would be the same thing if I did that. You know, it'd be okay, I can understand, but I mean, it's what's done is done, man. I knew before the release, I was even telling you and some of my associations, I said they're going to release them. They got to. If the Ravens don't, they'd be stupid not to. And then, yeah, I mean, you're right. A release was the only thing left to do.
Yeah, him getting released, you had to see that coming. But I think the whole situation that from February until now has been so poorly managed by everyone involved, not just Ray Rice and his wife, not just the Ravens, yes, and not just the NFL. I mean, for a video like this to come out, to have video evidence of this kind of assault happen where he cold cocks his wife and she is knocked out. I mean, the New Jersey legal system, you know, you got to kind of look at them and go and like, you are saying this guy didn't do, like, you're saying he did something wrong, but he's, you know, they're just letting him kind of like have a slap on the wrist for it. Right. Yes, this was the first time that he's been in this kind of trouble. Yes, he said he wanted to do the rehab or the classes or whatever. So yes, he is putting an effort forward. I'll never take that away from him because he came out, he admitted that this happened and he was trying to do his best to make sure that he's going to better himself from that situation. I think that's why people applauded in the preseason and training camp, because up until that video, you, like you said, you thought him and his wife got into a scuffle. They were drinking, you know, he may have backhanded her or something like that. because she was attacking him, like hitting him over the head or something. And out of the situation and out of being drunk and not being able to handle your emotions correctly, that he hit her. And even though that's not okay, it's not as bad as what we saw on that video, because
exactly, that's my point. You're right. Exactly.
It's no matter if ands or buts, how it happened, what he did, you never hit a woman in any way. You never backhand a woman. You never punch a woman. You never do any of that, especially somebody you're engaged to or is your wife. The thing that scares me about this video, and I don't know Ray Rice personally. I've met him once. He was nice to me. I don't know how he is. I don't know how he is as a professional, like, you know, working next to him. I don't know him in his personal life in any way. It scares me though, looking at that video, because he never even hesitated as she was kind of lunging towards him. It scares the crap out of me because it looks like him just decking her. He didn't even, like, when he did it, it was just like a reflex. Like, he didn't,
right.
It didn't ever go in. It never went into my, it never went into his head. That's my wife coming at me. Maybe I shouldn't hit her, you know? So
it's like, has he done this before? There's a track record. And you almost have to ask yourself, has this happened behind closed doors? Has this, because I'm not going to read the statement. For, you know, the sake of everything and all that, but she even came out and made a statement today and ended with Ravens Nation, we love you. And it's just like, it just all seems like very soap opera-ish to me. Like, it's like someone even said, like, her Instagram note today was kind of scripted. Like, the way she was at the podium on his apology, it was just, everything to me it just screams like there's a track record here, and I think it just escalated. And you're right, man. And my whole thing was, and they did the right thing today, which I was so happy with, because if they didn't, I was going to write a letter to the Ravens personally saying, look, he's not a murderer, but it's along the lines of we can't tolerate this. But the Ravens are doing the right thing and offering, if anybody hasn't heard yet, I'm sure you have, it's been everywhere, but they're offering a jersey exchange for any Ray Rice jerseys at the team store, and details to follow. And I know the Patriots did that. When Aaron Hernandez got indicted for the murder charges, they immediately released him, and then the Patriots immediately came out and said they would offer a jersey exchange for all Aaron Hernandez jerseys. The Ravens are going in the right direction. Everybody's scrutinizing the Ravens in the NFL. I don't know anything, and I'm not going to offer an opinion when I don't know the facts. And the facts point to the facts say the Ravens, the NFL, have not seen that video up until yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they saw it. I don't know if they saw it or before that or not. I hope that they did not see that and gave him two games, you know, because
I don't think they would have, because two games, like you said, wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah.
If then that sickens me to say that, OK, the NFL is going to give a 2-game suspension off of that video. And to me, the Ravens would have released him. That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. I think this organization's between the NFL and the Ravens, I think they're too good for that. I don't think that that's the case. Obviously, the media is going to spin negativity and saying they haven't. They have seen it before, but and a lot of people are pointing to a lot of people in the message boards and the media are asking, how can TMZ get obtain a video, but the NFL security officers can't? Well, I don't know. I mean, your question is as good as mine. I mean, but it is the media. I mean, well, yeah. Paparazzi gets pictures that some other people can't. So, I mean, they're sleazy. Their job is to spin negative news. And don't you think for 1 second that TMZ held on to that video, and after the Ravens lost and the way they lost ugly and how they played, that they're like, okay, I guarantee if they didn't win, if they'd have won on Sunday, it would have been okay. The Ravens lost on Thursday night. Friday morning, this video would have released. It would have been that much uglier. So I think it's all about timing, because you just look at that. The timing was just too impeccable.
Yeah, I'm sure that the NFL went to the casino and asked them to release the tape. Whether or not the casino said yes, you can have it or not, I'm sure they had to have turned it over to the police. How TMZ probably got this is a disgruntled employee from that casino, which is now out of business. Somebody who lost their job probably had that video and sold it to TMZ for, you know, $1 million or something, because they were out of work and everything. So the most important thing right here, though, is not about whether or not how the Ravens are going to deal with this or whatever. The most important thing right now that everyone's got to think about is I thought the two games and everything was light and everything for what Ray Rice had told us what happened. But I feel as if they should have given him more, because to go through what him and his wife went through, and if it's all true, where this isn't all a big show, they went through everything. He was arrested. They decided they were going to work on their marriage. They were going to stay together for his daughter, because that second press conference he had, where he said, this is not the father I want my daughter to see and everything like that, I was like, wow, this guy's really trying to make a change. That's really great of him that he admits he's wrong. He's trying to do better by himself. Hopefully by him not having to focus on football for everything, hopefully he can now focus on his personal life with his family, and that they can better their family with given the time of a time away from football, because the NFL, being a football player, it is a tough job. You know, you got to be in peak physical condition all the time. You're traveling. Hopefully, the only good thing that is really going to come out of this whole thing about him being suspended indefinitely and being let go by the Ravens and everything is the fact that hopefully he now has time to focus on his family and himself and bettering himself. And personally, I mean, we saw what happened with Mike Vick. I never agreed with Mike Vick coming back. He never apologized for what he did. Ray Rice has at least apologized for what he's done. But I don't think Ray Rice is done in the NFL. I figure in a year or so, someone will be desperate enough to pick him up. But right now, with this giant spotlight on him and everything, you're not going to see him this entire season on any team. The NFL is not going to bring that suspension and say, all right, you're done being suspended. but that's just the thing that's going on right now. I mean, the Ravens, they should have handled it better at the beginning. They shouldn't have. They especially shouldn't have put out that tweet when the first press conference happened about his wife saying, "I take responsibility for that night," because it's trying to make her look like the bad guy there. That was handled poorly. The NFL, without seeing the tape, should have offered more games, given the fact that he did plead guilty and everything. And I understand it was his first time, but still, this was supposed to be a precedent, and that's why they suspended him indefinitely, because this is setting a precedent for everybody else.
It is. And how about the Ravens? And this is what most surprises me, and I'm waiting to hear from them, but the press conference yesterday, the ownership hasn't spoken yet. Dick Cass, the president, and the owner, Steve Bisciotti, has not come out. I haven't seen a public statement from either. If there is out there, somebody please let me know. I have not. I've searched for one, but they threw John Harbaugh out there. I'm just like, here you go, buddy. And that's not a place for the head coach. I mean, you know, he's even said that. You know, they sat down with Rice 101. I mean, the head coach has a responsibility because he's the head coach of this team. He's the voice of the team, and I can see why they put him out there to speak, but it should have been all three.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a team problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing that I'm. Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, I'm glad you agree. Even if you disagree, that makes good conversation. But you know what it comes to the point is, this wasn't just a team issue, but this is an organizational issue. I mean, we terminated the contract to one of our star players. He got in trouble.
All right, guys. Well, we actually thought we were going to be done talking about the Ray Rice situation, but as we were recording, Steve Bisciotti put out a statement. We were just talking about a few minutes ago about how we didn't like the fact that Harbaugh was kind of thrown to the wolves all by himself, and that Ozzie and Bisciotti and everybody else wasn't standing out there in that press conference as an organization. But Steve Bisciotti put out a letter explaining what happened, and from what I saw in the letter, he really didn't pull any punches. He told you what kind of happened the whole way through about a timeline, really, of finding out about what happened with Ray and his wife, how they handled it, how the NFL handled it. And he admits to making a mistake about not pursuing that video more.
Right. I mean, it's very classy. And I know with Bisciotti, if there's going to be criticism because he didn't come in forefront of the podium, but Bisciotti's one of those owners, Brandon. He's not a Jerry Jones. He's not a Robert Kraft. He's not going to be out there in the media to be accessible. He rarely does that, if not at all. I mean, he was there publicly when Ray Lewis unveiled the statue, rightfully so. But he's a man of few words. He's behind the scenes, and that's how we love to operate. But he starts the letter by saying, "Dear Raven stakeholder, you deserve an explanation." There you go. It is a lengthy letter. I'm not going to read its entirety. But he does. I'm actually viewing it as we speak, and it has a timeline. And he basically, I'll read the last statement on the letter for us. It says, "We hope that Ray will continue to work to be the best husband, father, and person he can be, and he will turn his awful situation to something positive. We also learned a great deal and will continue to strive to be an organization and team you in Baltimore will be very proud of. I am sorry we let you down. Sincerely, Stephen J. Bisciotti, owner of Baltimore Ravens." So that, as with class, they all know. I mean, Bisciotti, again, this organization isn't stupid in their own right. I mean, anybody who's undermining that should even consider that, because this organization is top class from the top down. We draft well. And I just wanted to at least bring that to the forefront. I appreciate that. And again, you know, the Ravens are going to do the right thing. Again, they've handled this situation the best they could with the knowledge they were given. And then again, once the video leaked, they took swift action, and within hours he was released. So it wasn't like they waited a day or two and twiddled their thumbs. They were quick on the point. They met with him and said, "All right, we're terminating the contract, and they'll be all." Because it wasn't even 2 hours after the news broke that he was released. And I even texted you and said, "Yep, he's gone." So, and we even speculated that he was going to be released. So again, you know, the Ravens are going to go in the right direction as always and take action. So I think that pretty much lays everything to rest, and I applaud Bisciotti for doing so, and I'm glad that action was taken.
Yeah, thankfully he did make that statement, and thankfully he admits the faults that the organization has made, and like I said earlier, that's what I really want everyone to take away from this whole situation. Is I hope everyone, including the Rice family and the Ravens and the NFL and the fans as a whole, all look at this and go, this isn't right. They the way that everything was handled was handled poorly, and hopefully everyone learns from it. And at least it looks as if Steve Bisciotti and the organization there, they are at least admitting fault here. So that's really important.
Brandon, I look at it this way, and I agree with that, man. And it's almost like this. I don't hate Ray Rice, and everybody I know was probably upset, and the Ravens are doing the right thing, not only with that letter, but with, we've already covered, the jersey exchange. They're doing everything the right way. But again, my personal opinion is I wish him well. Like Bisciotti said, we do wish him well. Again, he's still a human being. He was part of the Ravens Nation, Ravens family, and still will be a part of that because he is a part of our history. He's had some memorable plays, memorable moments. He won a championship with us, and we can't make light of that because it happened. And we do wish him well. And again, it's the whole adage, you love the sinner but hate the sin, and that's where it comes down to. It's because I've done things. I've definitely made that public. I've done things personally. Doesn't make me a bad person because I made them right. Ray was involved in a situation. We're speaking of Ray Lewis, respectively. He was involved, made it right. A lot of players have done that, and some of them made it crumble. Some of them have gotten in trouble and then gotten repeat trouble, repeat trouble, repeat trouble. Some players get in trouble and they go, okay, and then they never get in trouble again. And again, not to really make it a long-winded statement, but it's one of the reasons why I last on the Derek Jeter in the baseball world, because Mr. Yankee himself, everybody loves to hate the Yankees and all that, but he's played his whole career like Ray Lewis did it in the same team, but in the biggest city in the nation, and where all the media is, and probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest media city, and he's done no wrong. You can't Google any negativity about Derek Jeter. Why? Because he hasn't done anything, and that's why I applaud him. And he does come to Baltimore this weekend, one of his last games on Sunday night, and you have to respect that. Love or hate the team, you gotta respect the player. And again, I hate to think what Ray Rice did, but we do wish him well in his family. And again, I don't hate the guy. It just sickens me what he did, and I really hope he gets it right for his family's sake. And I wish him well on his future. And again, covering that, I'm glad to see Bisciotti took the action with the letter, and I applaud his organization. Makes me proud to be a Ravens fan.
Yeah, no matter what, we're all a Ravens fan, and hopefully things are handled better if there is a next time. But the real thing that we all wish is that there won't be a next time for anyone to go through that. So you hate to see a letter like this come out for the reasons it's coming out, but at least the Ravens are trying to right the wrong of how they've handled it so far. So hopefully, hopefully that's all we'll have to talk about on that.
My good friends who goes the games with me, he brought up a good point that how could you be tried twice for the same crime? And I said, he's really not. But what gets me is he's not really, because legally he's done. I mean, what's done is done. He went to the courts. He's got the counseling, the probation. He can't go back and get in trouble for, because everybody's like, he should be in jail. I'm like, you're going to hear that. Everybody's saying he should be thrown in jail, but he can't be tried twice. In the United States, that's totally against the law. You can't be tried twice for the same crime. What's done is done. But given that, for the NFL's punishment, I'm a little bit taken back that two weeks ago, they changed their policy because they knew they screwed up the two-game suspension. They said, okay, well, the next time you're going to get a six-game suspension, and the second time you're going to get a lifetime ban. Well, then they come out and suspend him indefinitely, which is totally not part of that new rule system. So I think what they did there is, I think that the NFL at least came down and said, okay, we're suspending him indefinitely till this whole blows over and we figure out what we can really do from going forward, because they can't really ban him because it's not a second offense, because it's new video from the first offense. So, but then you can't go back and add a four-game suspension to add on to the two. So I think in their own point, I think a definite suspension is the only thing that they could do. That's how I look at it, but I'm still confused by it. But
yeah, this is all a big mess. But the big thing is, I think business-wise, if you take all the personal feelings and everything out of this, business-wise, this has been a PR fiasco for the NFL and for the Ravens. And I think what they decided to do after that video leaked, the Ravens and the NFL talked, and the Ravens said, we can't have this guy on the team. Look at all of the media that's going to come to him. Look at how we handled it already. Obviously, this wasn't just a slap or something that Ray did. This was a full-on punch to the face. I mean, his wife was knocked out. I think the NFL and the Ravens probably came to an agreement that said, if we let him go, you can't let him play someplace else throughout this season, because even though it's going to hurt our team PR wise, they couldn't keep him on the team. And the NFL, I think they behind closed doors, the two of them probably got together and said, I'm going to let him go, but you can't let him play for at least a year before this blows over. You know,
absolutely, man. That's what it comes down to. They can't. Yeah, because then it would say what would say about that. It's, you know, the Rangers release him, another pit team signs him within the same week, and it's like it's okay. And then they're going to get a storm under their organization because they're going to be under fire because they signed him, and they're going to answer questions like, "How could you?" So at least for the time being, until everything straightens itself out, I think he will play in the NFL again. And not only that, but here's the thing, you know, going back previous years before this all blew happened, you cannot forget to overlook the fact that, you know, I do thank Ray for his service. I mean, you can't really, you know, I mean, it sickens me what he did. But again, you know, I'm stating this statement I'm about to make is going back from before we knew the situation arose. It's you have to thank him for his service. He did make his incredible plays. And believe it or not, I mean, without the check down play he did, fourth and 29 in San Diego, we probably won't have a Super Bowl 47 championship, believe it or not, mm-hmm. because that would have been one little. Well, I mean, not to go back on our history again, but that would have been one loss less. We would have probably not been the playoffs. A lot of things happened, or we wouldn't have the home. A lot of things could have happened on that one play. So, again, you know, he's had some incredible plays. You know, he's starting running back for a Super Bowl championship. You can't undermine that. You know, but at the same time, you know, I say thanks for the memories, right? But, you know, I just really hope and pray that he gets everything back in track for him, his family, and you know, hopefully you're right. We'll see him on the NFL field again, and everything will be A-okay. But for the time being, this organization has to move on. For me, I'm kind of already sick of it. I mean, I know this is a big national story. I'm not knocking that, because this is an important issue in America today. Domestic violence. We have to teach the kids today on what's wrong and what's right, because I've seen a lot of violence in kids today, and it's going around, and it's an issue that I'm not going to overlook. But at the same time, it's every time I turn on SportsCenter, every time I turn on NFL Network, that's what's on the forefront. I mean, there is a football season to be played, and not only that, but the thing that does suck about this week, it is Steeler week in Baltimore. It is a short week. We have a primetime game in a few days, and it's almost like that game is just being lost in the shuffle, which in respectfully so, I can understand that, but it's almost like that's what's just going to be on the forefront. But I mean, there is a football game to be played. We have a short week, and we need to get back to work. Yeah. And that's what Torrey Smith tweeted, Brandon. It's, you know, again, it sucks, but it's time to get back to work after a loss, and they have a short week, and they have to put everything behind them. I mean, yeah. Again, this team's going to rise, or this team's going to really crumble. And I think, I mean, to give you a teaser on the season, or the little teaser on the preview, I think the Ravens are going to come out swinging on Thursday night. But what's done is done with Ray Rice. I think we hit the nail on the head on that. Great discussion on that, Brandon. But we even that, not only on top of that, but we did come off an ugly loss going on Sunday, and yeah. I was pumped up till like halfway through this.
Yeah. So
first half, and then I'm just like, so yeah. I mean, we can break that down, Brandon.
Yeah,
I think it's at that time. Let's go to the first time. This year, going to do the Red Eye review, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just put in my last couple thoughts here on the Ray Rice situation.
Please do, man. Please
hopefully,
do.
Hopefully, this is the last time that we talk about anything that isn't good news about this type right. of situation. Hopefully, everyone that has been involved with this has learned something from this. This is the big point in Ray Rice's life. Like we've all talked about it. A lot of people online have said, you know, those few minutes don't define who he is, and I totally believe that. It's what he's going to do next is really going to decide what type of person he really is. And so far, after that night, he's done a lot of the right things. He has gone to classes. He has him and his wife are trying to work on it. But hopefully he takes this time away, and hopefully he becomes a better man. He becomes a better person. He becomes a better father and a better husband, which is right. the most important thing in the world when you're in this type of situation. Hopefully his wife, will continue. To go to those classes as well, because she also has to realize what he did, you know, is not her fault, and it's not she shouldn't just expect that type of thing to happen. So all, you know, hopefully the NFL will learn from this about how to handle these situations better. Hopefully the Ravens will learn to handle these situations better. Hopefully coming out of this, people have learned something, and hopefully the fans as well have learned that this type of stuff is not okay and that you can't do this type of thing. So hopefully that's the last time we ever discuss like domestic violence on this show. It's not something I want to talk about. I want to talk about football, but hopefully in the next few days, in the next few months, in the next year or so, Ray Rice and his wife and their daughter and his whole family are still okay. Whether or not they're together or not, after they kind of take a step back and kind of figure out who they are, it hopefully everything works out for the best. And hopefully everybody, like I said, everybody that's watched it on the news or is a Ravens fan or in the organization, hopefully everyone realizes what happened and how to handle it better next time. So that's my,
absolutely, man. Well said, Brandon.
Yeah, that's my last few comments on that. But as you said, this is going to be the first week we're doing this since this was week one that we're going to be talking about. This is going to be the Red Eye Review.
And the bird said nevermore.
All right, so here we are. We're week one. We're the Baltimore Ravens. The Ray Lewis statue showed up at M&T Bank Stadium in all its glory. You and I, Josh, man, we went to Jimmy's Famous Seafood and we got to hang out with some playmakers and Poe and some cheerleaders on Friday night. The Purple Caravan was all over the place. We were all excited. And then that game on Sunday happened. And that game on Sunday, wow, what happened here? Because I don't think the Ravens knew there was a game on Sunday. I think we were more prepared than the players were.
I think so too, Brandon. I mean, speaking of preparedness, I think we couldn't have been more prepared getting down on a timely fashion, and we were on point with our tailgating, and it was a glorious time, man. I mean, you're right. We started the weekend strong. Purple Friday Caravan had a blast. Jimmy's Famous Seafood, shout out. They got some great food, great times up there. If anybody's not visited them, they, again, guys, got to please go. And Brandon, you had your first taste. How'd you like it, by the way?
Oh, well, you know what? Jimmy's was actually really, really good, man. I've never been there before. I got a burger with crab meat on top and, you know, got to experience all the Raven fans and the caravan coming. And it was the last stop for the Playmakers. So you and I, we made out like bandits. We got all kinds of Ravens posters and gear and stuff. And we got to talk to some of the Playmakers. But you know how stupid we are? We never mentioned we do a podcast to any of these pretty girls, so
no, we didn't, man.
We're kind of idiots.
I think we're just caught up in the moment, man. I mean, with all the talking and the mingling and just the excitement. I think we're like, I even said that walking out. I said, Brandon, we didn't plug our show, but hey, we'll make this the first non-official plug-in for the show. That hey, shout out to Jimmy's Famous. Thanks for having the Ravens over there, and they do a lot of great events. And go get you some great food. I mean, again, Famous Seafood. It's all in the name. They do Maryland food well. And shout out to the owner, John. He's a good friend of mine. But anyway, going back on that, we did start off right, and then we were prepared for tailgating, Brandon. It was so great to wake up Sunday morning, put the gear on. I was up at Adam at about, I would say, 5:45 on Sunday morning, bro. I put in a full work day, and I was all ready to go. We got down there tailgating. We had great food, cornhole tournaments, you name it. And not only that, but before we even leave to the game, that statue is something to see on TV, on pictures. It looks intimidating, but once you see it in person, bro, it's, you got to get down there, whether it's a game or if you're just strolling down in the city, stop by and visit that statue. I can't wait to see it at nighttime or primetime on Thursday. Is this going to be the more intimidating with the purple hue in the background? I was a treat. I walked up, I don't know if anybody saw my tweeting pictures, but I was, I did a little variation this year, and I showed up in full gear. I even had the new Ravens pants that I got courtesy of the yard sale we went to, and I had a helmet added this year. So everybody was just enjoying that, and I just stood in awe of that statue, and I just said, wow, you know, men can build such great things, and they moved Johnny over. It was just great to see both, and went over and touched Johnny's foot, and Ray's foot is high kicked in the air. And I think another new tradition is everybody's touching Ray's foot, and the detail is such incredible, from the patch, the shield patch, to the Nike check on onto the uniform, to the wrinkles, to the name, to the number. It's intimidating, and it's very, very well done. And that pumped me up. I got back, and we go into stadium, yell the O, and then all of a sudden the game starts. And by halftime, we were like, "What is going on?" We have some things to talk about. There's some bright things, and then there's a lot of concerning things. Hate to say there's a lot of concerning things, Brandon, but what I noticed is a positive in the first half. We'll break this game down by halves, because it was a game of two halves, as is the Ravens usually are. It's always a tale of two halves. If they can put both halves together, wow, what could we do with that? But credit to the defense. They bent and they bent and they bent, but they did not break. Five field goals in the first half. If one of those was converted into a touchdown, game over. And obviously, rightfully so, he's only lost by seven. But besides the point, they had the ball at least three times in a red zone and didn't break. And they could have – I think they were at least on the four-yard line at one point. And, they, again, credit to the defense. They got shredded the whole way down the field, but they said, hey, you're not getting in the end zone. And they didn't really get in the end zone until a fluke play in the second half. So, again, I'm very – very proud of that. What I'm not proud of is Shockey Brown getting picked on. He cannot stick on. It's just the defense looked off. The offense looked off. Going on the offense, where do I start? Drop passes, missed routes, miscommunication. I mean, there was a play in the second quarter where, and I even saw Joe Flacco on the sideline. He just put his arms up disgusting. He knew what happened. It was a play up the seam. They were, I think, around the 20, or they were around the red zone where, and they might have been on the 25-yard line. It was in the opposite side of the field. It was a third down play, Joe Flacco. All they had to do was throw it over the middle in the seam, and it was a Dennis Pitta touchdown. Well, Dennis Pitta sat down. If he'd have kept running, it would have been a touchdown, Brandon. So, and there was a lot of miscommunication again. Flacco was putting the passes on there, drop passes. Where do you start? Then the mismanagement at the end of the first half. I was left scratching my head. I was beside myself. I was like, what is going on? But again, I sat in my seat, and not a lot of fans left anyway, but I sat in my seat and said, okay, they come back out, they get the ball in the second half, they can score seven, bring this to a closer score than what it is, an 8-point game. We'll be right back in it. We just got to make a couple stops. And I kind of was like holding that positive note. And again, you know, too little too late. I think our stars, I think I had to re-listen to the show, but I think you were the one that picked Mosley, correct? And I think I picked Steve Smith. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess right now I'm 1-0 on the young season. Steve Smith, man, if it wasn't for that long touchdown, he had a quiet day. But not only that, but how about that play? I mean, Flacco bought some time, ran around a bit, and he was under rest all day. You got to credit that. You can't discount that. That it's just you can't really have the time to throw the ball, and that's what I saw. You know, when he's running around all day, what do you expect? But he put that pass on point. And how about Steve Smith, man, playing like a Raven? I've always loved this guy. I mean, he caught the ball in stride and then told that guy to get off me. He stopped in his tracks and just slid that guy off with a nasty stiff arm and mounted his way to the end zone for his first Ravens touchdown, his Ravens debut. Seven catches, 118 yards, and a touchdown. My boy Steve Smith earns the player of the game. Again, that was a bright spot. And then not only that, but they traded another big play. And I've said this all along. The Ravens' Achilles heel again, Brandon, was the big play. Do not give up a big play.
Yeah.
And when they took the lead, 16-15, we're 5 minutes and 40-something seconds left. It's like, okay, get one stop. We're going on the field goal, and we're going to win this thing. And lo and behold, Andy Dalton throws it up to a one-on-one coverage with A.J. Green. And how about A.J. Green, man? I mean, the guy's a beast receiver. You can't discredit that, man. I mean, he tipped it. He had a tip pass and caught it, and it just walked his way into the end zone on another big pass play. So each team had one. But what gets me, Brandon, is we were there last year, and I remember this, and specifically, rightfully so, this is 2 years in a row where A.J. Green has been involved in a fluke play. I want to say – I guess you can call it a fluke play. I don't know what else you call it, but he's been involved in one of the big plays in the game. Last year, remember, he had that Hail Mary pass that caught right at the end of regulation in the back of the end zone, and then he has this. If the safety was a little bit early coming over, he could have hit it out. If he had just tipped it wrong and dropped it, I mean, it's just one of those plays where you're like, really? The Ravens played sloppy. They looked off. And I've heard not only the Ravens, but a lot around the teams in the NFL on Sunday looked flat. And I credit this, and it was something I've heard along the lines of analyzation this week of all the games. It's the offenses haven't had time to. And this goes back to my point in the preseason where when we're trying to – you can't get scared about resting and resting players. I want to ask your opinion, Brandon, if, what do you think about this? Because someone said, well, especially with the Giants looked as worse as the Ravens did, if they're probably not worse. And I've been hearing a lot that how, well, these offenses haven't gotten time, that within these first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, they're going to get – especially with a new offense, new players, new personnel, that they don't have time to gel that – You know, yeah, the Ravens on their first drive in preseason went 80 yards and scored a touchdown. But I think what needs to happen is they need to play more in the preseason. I think they need to play a whole half in the first game. I think they need to play a whole game or this is how it should build up. They play a whole half in the first game. They play three quarters in the second game. They play the whole game in the third game. And then the fourth game, they get maybe a whole quarter and that's it, and winding it down before the season starts. But I think because this offense hasn't had time, that now they have a full game, they're going to make the mistakes, and you're seeing it. You're seeing it with the incorrect routes. You're seeing it with the missed coverages and the slow play. And I just want your thoughts about that. Like, would you think that more playing in the preseason would counter that? I think it might. But again, you're always thinking about resting players, but I don't think you can do it at this point.
Yeah, I think the big thing, at least for the offense, at least for the Ravens right now, yeah, they have a new system. That's what I kept saying to everybody, like, what is going on? What is going on? What do you think is going on? The Ravens have a new offensive coordinator they still got to gel with. Joe's still got to gel with Steve Smith. But at least on Sunday, for the Ravens, not the rest of the NFL, the receivers still have to figure out how to catch a ball. I mean, that should be like football 101.
Yep.
Joe, not for all of them, believe me. Joe was doing okay. He was getting those balls to who they were supposed to go to, but they were dropped. Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones had a terrible game, each of them. They dropped so many misplays because of those guys. I mean, they're both professionals. They both know Joe's style. The only guy who I would kind of be okay with if he dropped a few, which he did, was Steve Smith, because he's not had real game time with Joe. But those other guys really should know by now how this is done. Dennis Pitta, you know, usually we're always talking about Pitta and Flacco. You didn't really see them that much, you know, working together. You saw more of the new guy, Owen Daniels, that didn't really see a lot of time before then. You didn't see Marlon Brown at all.
Where was he?
He was not on the – I kept looking for him. I saw him for like two plays. Not on the field at all, pretty much. Joe has always felt comfortable with Pitta and Marlon Brown, at least in my own perspective, and I didn't see him throwing to either of those guys. And maybe that's why he feels so secure throwing to them, because the other guys are they drop, you know, they miss plays. But the Bengals, they came to town. They did their homework. That defense knew every single play the Ravens were going to do. And I think that was the thing, is that they knew they weren't going to run the ball too much. It was going to be a lot of passing. So they knew where to go. Joe had time every once in a while, but if nobody's open, he's the type of guy who's not going to throw the ball away. He's not going to try to make a play if he doesn't see one open. He'll hold on to it or he'll start running. So Ravens-wise, the offense, I don't know what their problem was. If you want to say, oh, it's a new offensive coordinator, okay, but basics like catching the ball when it gets to you, that's not on the coordinator, that's on the players. So hopefully they're all working together this week to figure out what's going on. But let me ask you this. I don't know if you saw the game on TV, like on a replay or anything. I got a question about Joe Flacco's ankle. I don't think he's 100%. I think something happened in this game. If you look, when he was being tripped up, or if people were just going near his ankle, he got scared and he would fall or he would trip himself up. I think there's something going on with Joe's ankle that no one's talking about right now.
That's an interesting point. I mean, in the game, it is kind of tough because you're not really focusing on one player or one play. You're kind of looking at the whole field. You had a different perspective between live and on TV, but that brings up a good point. I really hope not. I haven't seen any hesitation. I mean, you have to credit. He did do okay. I would say well, but okay most of the game. But he took 2 sacks in the most crucial point of the game where he shouldn't have. You got to understand that, hey, look, they're bringing the house. It is Marvin Lewis over there. You know, they're dialing up something. Again, you got to manage the game, Joe. I was a little taken back by that, that he needs to be more mature, especially now being the leader. But I haven't seen any ankle problems. That is a good point. And maybe I'm on monitor that on Thursday. Now I'm ready to look at that. I really hope not everything's okay. But you hate to see Joe out there running, and it just sucks to see. You don't want our star quarterback out there, MVP, out there running around for his life. You want him upright in the pocket and standing tall and throwing throws that need to be made in there. And again, we'll see what happens, Brandon. Thank you for bringing that up. But no, I did not see anything out of the ordinary. But again, needs to be seen.
I'm intrigued to see what happens in this game up against the Steelers, because you know, we know what their defense is like. And personally, when I think like what the first time Joe got taken down, even if I can't remember what play it was, but after that, I kept noticing that he would either trip himself up or like he wasn't as quick on his feet. So personally, I'm not a doctor or anything like that, but it looks to me like there is something, maybe a sprain, maybe not a break, but something. It does not look like his ankle is 100%, but we will see down the road what happens. Hopefully everything's fine. Hopefully I am completely wrong. I am cool with that if I am. So we'll see what happens. But real quick, the defense, they looked okay. They didn't look great. I feel as if they did an adequate job. You know, they did hold the Bengals back as much as they could, but Shockey Brown, man, that guy, he's been in this league for a while. He's been a Raven for a long time. It looked like this was his first time playing NFL football. He had no idea what to do here. He got outplayed. He was in the wrong spots all the time. For a guy who's been with the Ravens for so long, where was his head at on Sunday? Do you think he was just thrown into this and didn't know like what was going to happen? If I feel as if not having Lardarius Webb is hurting us now more than ever.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was shocked to see Webb on the inactive list, but Shockey Brown was picked on the whole game, and I even said that. And it can't happen. I mean, it's inexcusable. Again, I don't know what's going on in practice. I'm not there every day. I don't know how they look in practice, but I've been hearing good reports. And then he come out on game day, and you're right. He looks like it's his first game. He looked lost. He looked flat. A lot of the throws he had his back to. He was even involved in the play one-on-one covers with AJ Green on that play. And it's just, again, you know, you have to have Jimmy Smith locked down. You have to have your best corner on the best players be playing man. I don't know what the defensive schemes were. I can kind of tell when they were in zone. They didn't look great there. And then with the and on the flip side, we were talking about the pass rush. There was no pressure. That, you know, what happens when you don't get pressure, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have a long day at the office. And what I told the guys that were sitting around, I said, but you have to credit Andy Dalton in the offense, because they're countering that by getting the ball out. One and a half, 2 seconds flat, getting the ball out. As soon as it was snapped, it was gone, and they were doing these check down screen plays and countering the blitzes. So you do have to credit the Bengals for one. Again, it's all about a chess match game. Every game, it's its own story, tail of two halves, and the Ravens just came out so close. I just didn't like the pressure, and then we didn't get pressure at all. I know Suggs was in the backfield and disrupted a couple of runs for losses, but no Dimmerville, no Suggs, no Mosley. They weren't all in there disrupting. And then obviously when it mattered most, they brought the house on Flacco on 3rd and 4 when the game counted, and ended up being a 4th and 9 because he took a sack, and then he got sacked again to end the game. I mean, it just was – you got to know they're coming. You know, you have to design a play where put Forsett out there in a flat. If they're coming, just throw it right over their heads and let Forsett take it to the house. I mean, again, I'm not an NFL head coach. I'm not a play caller. I don't know what's going on. It's just, again, it's just all around was a bad game. If Flacco admitted it, Harbaugh admitted it, they just play poorly. And I always look at this, how worse can it get? Can they play any worse? Let's hope not on Thursday, because it is a short week. And what better way to put this Rice situation behind them? What better way to put this loss behind them and go right back and rebound and said, okay, where do we go from here? And tell you what, when you have a team with a chip on their shoulder, and everybody was concerned, again, you know, what I saw from the Ravens, am I confident against Pittsburgh? I don't know. But again, it is the Ravens-Steelers games. They're always physical. They're always close. So expect a close game. It's always going to come down to one of these plays. And going back when I got home and watched the highlights, because I saw the scoreboard, the Steelers had a 27-3 halftime lead against the Browns. Ended up being a tie game at 27 all until Pittsburgh had to hit a late field goal very late in the game to win the game. So Steelers, they, from what I've seen in that, that was a tale of two halves where they could have had the, they could have had a 45-3 win, and they didn't. They had to eke it out, and credit the Browns. It's going to be a tough division. The Browns are going to be in their slots, and we play them next. So we have to watch out for them. That we could easily go 0-3, or we could be 2-1 or 1-2. We don't know where the record's going to take us, but we have to focus on the task at hand, Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not – I'm not too concerned. Everybody was scared, Brandon. But I'm really not, I wouldn't say scared of this team, but I'm not overly concerned as I was after seeing that, because, like, okay, they lost the second half lead. So, and then we came back from a 15-0 deficit and took the lead 16-15. So you can really say the momentum is weird as it sounds. Could be on the Ravens side, because it's a tale of two halves. Steelers up 27-3. 130-27. The Ravens were losing 15-0 and lost the game 16-23. So again, the Ravens scored all those points unanswered. The Steelers, you know, the Browns scored 24 points unanswered to tie the game. So again, I say the momentum is a little on the Ravens side, and being a home game with the Ray Rice situation, the emotion, the crowd, the prime time, I think the Ravens are going to come out swinging and put this loss behind us. But I did not see anything on Sunday that I could really build on. Point other than the second day performance, how they came out and they didn't die. They did play like Ravens, and they built to the end. They played to the end, and if it wasn't for that play, we could have had the game won.
Yeah, it's Sunday's game really opened my eyes up a lot. I kept trying to say before the season started, this is not last year's team. This is a new team. This is a rebuilt team. We've got new. We got a new receiver. We got a guy. He's a veteran. He's been here a long time. But this opener, man, was just depressing. This is, did not look like the Ravens I knew even 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens down the road. I do want to bring up a guy who I wasn't really expecting to see a lot of, and I think we even talked about it last week that we thought Mr. Bernard Pierce would be the guy to be the starter here. But Justin Forsett comes onto the field after Bernard Pierce drops a ball, and he played really well, and I believe he's getting the start on Thursday. But he may be one of the shining moments, or the one of the best parts of Sunday's game. He played really well against the Bengals.
He did, man. He played really well, and I was happy to see that. I mean, I was excited to see what Bernard Pierce could bring to the table, and with the play and somebody, it's just Harbaugh said enough, and he put Forsett in there. Forsett played really, really well. I think the line blocked for him. Again, I think they did a decent job blocking for him well, opened up some lanes. He had some decent runs, and on the touchdown run, it was a great run. It was off tackle, off the sides. He went to the right side of the play, and he went right in the corner of the end zone. It was a great play. Saw it right there in front of us. So thank you again. You know, I've seen some great things with the run game going forward. Again, that's not too concerning. The passing game needs a lot of work. But, yeah, I mean, Forsett now with Ray Rice not being in the mix, I know they – I think they're looking at – I heard LaMichael James got released from 49ers, but it's just within it running – that's the only concern. Yes, they look okay, halfway decent, but going forward, we have Forsett and Pierce. I'm excited for the rookie Talaferro. I don't know if he's going to get any playing time, but again, the running game's a little thin at this point, so hopefully we have no more injuries, knock on wood. Again, everybody stay healthy, but for the most part, speaking of that, everybody came out of this game relatively healthy. I didn't really see too many bad injuries on the most part, so I think I think all hands on deck for Thursday night. So that's a good thing. You know, nobody came out. It seems like all the Bengals were getting banged up on Sunday, but it wasn't the Ravens. So I do credit the Ravens for being relatively healthy throughout the game.
Yeah, so that's definitely a good thing going into Thursday. So I think we pretty much covered everything for the Red Eye review this week. So now, why don't we look forward? Usually it's looking forward to next week, but we just got to look forward a few days, because this week it's going to be Thursday night up against the Steelers. I don't know about you. I'm not a huge fan of these Thursday games just because I have to work early on Fridays, and I think it kind of takes away from the special Thanksgiving games, you know, down in November. But anyway, football is football. More and more of it is always better. But here we go. Ravens Steelers. The NFL loves this matchup. The Ravens are hosting the Steelers at M&T Bank Stadium. You've already touched on it a little bit. I'm intrigued like you are. The Steelers look like they're a type of team that plays really well, but then gets really tired. The Ravens look like a team who doesn't know how to start a game, but after getting yelled at halftime by their coach, comes out swinging in the second half. Or if there's 2 minutes left of the first half, Joe Flacco knows what to do with 2 minutes left in the game.
It seems like it, you think. And maybe we can just start this game at halftime and see what happens.
Hopefully the Ravens
right to the festivities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hopefully the Ravens, hopefully the defense can do their job early on against the Steelers. I think that's going to be a big thing. If the defense can hold the Steelers back, if the defense knows what they're up against in this first half and they can hold them to maybe just, you know, a field goal or two or three even, if they can hold the Steelers back to that low of a score, I feel as if the Ravens could come out of this with a win with the way that they've been performing in the second half, because Joe Flacco, after that performance on Sunday, he said that was the dumbest play he's ever made in his career. Of all of football. So he
owned up to it.
Yeah, he knows he screwed up. He knows he sucked. I mean, and I'm very happy that there was no meme made of that Joe Flacco sitting on the field looking sad. With him knowing that was a dumb move, and with the offense knowing how bad they screwed up this week, and with it being the Steelers, I feel as if everyone's got to bring their A game this week. Everybody's got to be on top. Everyone has to know how important this game is, because that loss on Sunday wasn't just a loss. It was pretty embarrassing to lose at home. I mean, the Ravens have not lost to the Bengals at home since 2009. So that really tells you how long it's been with that team. This is
Wendy Dalton never won in the bank until that. At times,
yeah,
he was over. So you're right. It just shows you these home games are very precious, and we take pride on that. That we always say the old adage: 8-0 at home and 4-4 on the road, and you're a 12-4 football team. Even if you go 7-1 at home and split in the road, you're 11-5. So it's just, again, you know, you take pride in those games. You use the 12th man to your advantage. And for me, it was kind of – I was paying attention to the vision boards because they used the fan effect this year, and they were doing the – I don't know if this was stemming off of what Seattle does up there at Seattle with the 12th man, but they were doing like when the fans would cause a three and out, they would say the fan effect three and out, and it was like the first three and out was like in the third quarter. And I mean and seeing what transpired on Sunday – two things concern me. When it was 3rd and 16 and 3rd and 12 and they allowed first downs, that's concerning, man, because you can't have the team – you can't have Pittsburgh sitting there on Thursday night, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 16, and then getting a first down, because that's just upsetting, man. It's absurd. You know, that's drive killers, and it's drive extenders for the team and drive killers for us on defense, because it's – okay, it could be a three and out, get them off the field, get fresh and ready to go. And then, oh, it's a first down before you know it, they gain 20 yards and then they're down kicking a field goal, or worse, a touchdown. So, again, man, you gotta make plays. You gotta hold the coverages. But it is Steeler week in Baltimore. It's going to be a short one. Always love it. And if anybody's gotten a chance to tweet their Steelers hate, I'm sure it's been out there. I have, but anybody see this comical thing today on a lighter side, to forget all the negativity? How about Terrell Suggs' t-shirt, Brandon? Have you seen his new t-shirt lately?
I did. I like that on Facebook. You posted it, and I couldn't stop laughing at
yes.
that.
Yes. I was going to say it's kind of funny because Tomlin did reach out to Jacoby Jones this week, and we're all talking about the infamous on-field incident that Tomlin tried to trip Jacoby on the return last season, and that was controversial, and it's right, it could have cost the game. Tomlin did say that he will not be a part of the special teams festivities, and he'll be safe this week. So Tomlin knows. I mean, right now, I think because of what happened, and he did get fined, and we did win the game, it's all fun and games now. I think we have a different perspective. If it would not win in our favor, but now we can laugh at it. Now Suggs has a t-shirt making money off of it, so I think it's just going to be a fun thing to talk about leading up to the game. But again, always another addition for Steeler week and Steeler hate week, and we love it around here in Baltimore. It's gonna be a short one, man. So again, you know, it's one of those deep-rooted rivalries. I love it. It's always one of these close games. It always comes down to a 7-point game or a 3-point game. It's always within one score. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be raucous, and the stadium's going to be rocking. And we're kicking off the Thursday night schedule for the NFL, NFL Network, and CBS. We're all on that, and I really can't wait to get it started, man. It's what a way to kick off the Thursday night opener. What a way to kick off the second week of the NFL, and what a way to put away all the negativity with the game and the Rice release, and let's go out and win a football game on Thursday night and balance. Because I tell you this right now, Brandon, when I say it's a must win, the Steelers would be 2-0 if they won, and we would be 0-2, and not only in the league but in the division.
Yeah.
So I think right now the balance is – you're gonna have to, because the Falcons, I think, play the Bengals on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So you gotta hope that, you know, they take care of business and the Falcons beat them. We're all back at 1-1-1 respectively. And again, you know, it's you gotta win, and you got the 10-day rest going to Cleveland. You get through this game, it's a love hate. Yeah, you get a day or two rest, got to play another football game, but then you get 10 days rest in between the next one. So I think the Thursday games have been great to the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they, going back to the record, I don't think they've lost on Thursday night. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but remember the first time they did this on a Thanksgiving game? They had the Ravens Niners, and the Ravens won that game.
That was
the Ravens won the Steelers game on Thanksgiving night as well. So again, I really like that. The Ravens have been very, very good on Thursday night, short week turnarounds. And, I'm very, very confident in this game.
Let me ask you this. If you're so confident, let's roll right into it. What do you think the score is going to be for this game?
This is tough. I'm going to say 17-14 Ravens. This is going to be close. When I say Ravens, because this is a must win, and I think with the – now, if this was in Pittsburgh, I would say I would pick differently with the home team on this one. But being that this is a must win, I'm going to be present in the crowd. The crowd's going to be energized. With all the negativity, I think everything's going to push this team over the edge, and I think it's going to be a 17-14 late field goal is going to win it. I think we're going to at least find our foot. Again, Joe Flacco can't be throwing these stupid interceptions with nobody looking. I think everybody's going to be okay and on point, and I think the message is going to be gotten this week, and that's why I'm confident. I wouldn't say I'm overly confident in what I've seen on Sunday, but I'm confident, like I said, going back to what I said before, with the momentum, with the Steelers losing their first half lead, and with the Ravens erasing their first half deficit, and all coming together, and with the Rice release, and then with everything, and a must win Thursday night at home. I think everything just proved, and with the national spotlight, I think the Ravens are going to say, you know, I know the Ravens aren't concerned about that. No, the players can care less if the whole nation is watching, but they know it's Thursday night's the only game on. They know the whole world will be watching. So all eyes will be on the M&T Bank Stadium, and it's not at the game. They're glued on the TVs, and they're going to be scrutinized with every move. If they come out and win, they're going to go, okay, well, this team's applauded. They came out, resilience, great job. Now, if they lose, they're just going to implode. And I'm going to say right now, this season in week two, at a short week, is hanging in the balance, and it's going to be a 17-14 win, my friend.
I like your confidence in the Ravens. I think it's going to be the same thing. I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to come down to I think Justin Tucker. Hopefully he's doing a little bit better than he did on Sunday. I'm hoping the Flacco's able to throw a few touchdowns. Hopefully he's able to work with Forsett a little bit. I want to see more from Joe Flacco, because really the spotlight was on him on Sunday, because he really just he blew up. He didn't know what was going on out there. I want to see a better game from Joe Flacco. I want to see a more mature game from Joe Flacco. He's been in this league long enough to know how it works, and he knows how important it is up against the Steelers for the Ravens and for Baltimore. So really, you know, you asked me last week, you know, who are the birds to watch for, you know, Joe Flacco's got to be the guy. He's got to be the leader out on the field. He's got to be the guy that really, really shows this team how it works. He's got to take charge on the field. And if somebody's not making the plays for him that he's passing to, he's got to get on the sidelines and talk to him. You know, this is his offense. If people aren't, you know, if they're still trying to figure out Gary Kubiak's system, Joe Flacco's got to be the balance of the new guy with the team. It's his team with a new offensive coordinator. So really, my eyes are just going to be on Joe Flacco to see what he does, and hopefully he comes out swinging for this.
I agree, man. I mean, good pick on that. And I think, you know, with that being said, I think on the defensive side, I think all eyes are going to be on the defense as a whole, not one individual player, but the unit at getting pressure and seeing how the Steelers counteract that. And the secondary, all eyes going to be on, because I know Antonio Brown had a big game on Sunday for the Steelers, and you know they're going to be bringing in Bell's going to be a tough force to deal with in a running game, and as well as LeGarrette Blount. So I think we got our hands full. So eyes are going to be on the defensive unit. Can we get our third down stops? Can we get off the field? Can we get pressure to Ben? Because if we don't, you know how he is making plays. It's going to be a long night, and it's going to be a long drive back home stuck in traffic if we don't get our act straight. So I think, again, all signs point to, I think, a momentum swing in our favor. But I hope I'm right. I could be wrong. You know how that goes, the human element involved. So you never know. And again, each game, it's its own story. I love that quote. And it's going to be a great story on Thursday night, another chapter in this year's young season, week two. The NFL starts in a few days, and I can't wait to get after it. And I just love to hate this team. You know how it is, man. And I'm pumped, man. I can't wait to wake up on Thursday morning and feel refreshed and ready to go and get it cranked up. And all eyes are going to be us on Thursday night, man. It's going to be a war, and we're getting it kicked off, started the race. Way, man, and let's go out. Let's close this week out with a win. And I think, in wrapping everything in perspective, putting everything behind us is the best thing this team can do. And like I said, it's the time is now. The time is now to rise up. You know, Harbaugh. This is the time where I wish, and not only that, I wanted to recap. This is the time I wish Ray Lewis was still around, because of his motivational speeches and the whole, you know, you got to rise up and you got to put this, you know, you can hear him talk about that. But I didn't want to leave this out and going back in retrospect to Sunday, but they probably didn't even show it on Sunday. I know, because it was national coverage for NFL. Ray Lewis came out at halftime, and that was a special treat. I did hear a rumor that morning that he might even be present, but I didn't believe it, because I was like, he ain't here. But he was. He actually came out at halftime. He was honored with the statue. He had a great motivational video, and it was kind of funny, because I was like, when they came back and took the lead for one point, I was like, see, Ray Lewis sparked them, because he had a speech, and then here they come out. So, but it was just kind of funny. But it was a great tribute video, and he actually came out. And again, this is another positive note on Sunday, that he came out with Johnny Unitas' wife, man. And they were both together on the field, and Ray took the mic, and of course he gave another great 2-3 minute speech, as he always does, and applauding him. It was great, man. I was fired up. And he basically said, in a nutshell, that it was an honor to have a statue next to the great Johnny Unitas out there on the plaza. And he said that he thanked the family for allowing him to be honored with Johnny, and to be placed next to him with honoring of a statue. And it was great, man. It was one of those great feel-good moments, and I'll never forget that, man. And again, I wanted to bring that up. I don't think anybody's even talked about that or even mentioned it, or if anybody's even known about it. But it was great to see Ray once again. And he did his signature dance. He did it. He didn't come out of tunnel, but he did it on the field. It was great to see Ray do his dance one more time. Fired us up again, but again, man, we're going to be fired up for Thursday night, man. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, closing out the show and everything, throughout the last year and a half of Ray Lewis, he'll always be a part of the Ravens organization, but no longer right. Being a player. I always wanted people to move past the Ray Lewis era of the Ravens, because as much as I'm a huge fan of Ray Lewis as a player, as well as a human, because of the personal things he's gone through and how he came out of it and is a better person and is this great guy now and does all this motivational stuff, all this great charity work as well. I'm a big fan of how he lives his life and how he does everything. But I wanted the Ravens to get out of his shadow, if that makes sense. I wanted the Ravens to be like, we aren't just one guy. We aren't just one guy. We're also a team, and we can play, and we can do everything else that every other team can do without him. But like you said, to not have a guy who's going to give those motivational speeches and everything, that is a huge loss for this team. And you can see that in the last year and two games, or one game or whatever. But the other thing is, you look at on Sunday, the Bengals, they had the number of the Ravens. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew what plays were coming. Ray Lewis used to be able to call plays and know exactly what people were calling. So it's as if he's gone, the team isn't like watching as much tape as they would if he were still a part of the organization.
And Reed, respectively, was like that. They feared those guys down the middle.
So, I mean, to have Ray Lewis be a part of the stadium forever, being on a statue and coming to the game and thanking everybody, especially everything going on with the Ravens right now, you really do realize how much he meant to this organization, how much he meant to the players, and how much he meant to just how the inner workings of this team. So it is great to see him back, and I wish there was another player like him out there that could be a part of this team, but there just never, ever will be for any other team, for that matter, either. There's only one Ray Lewis, and we were lucky enough to have him for so many years, be a part of this organization as a player, right, but man. I was worried about, you know, the Ravens kind of being in his shadow. They'll never be out of his shadow because he just casts such a giant shadow of himself, because he is such a motivational guy, and he did love this game and he lived for this game. So we definitely do miss him in Baltimore, and you can definitely see the effect of him not being here every week.
Right. I mean, not only that on the field, but off the field too. But I can kind of see your point. But going there, you know, I think I can kind of understand where your point's being made. But again, saying that, it's, you know, if you're saying that hopefully the team can move on, we can never move on because we just immortalize them out front in the stadium. So in regards to moving on from Ray Lewis era, we can never truly will, and we never will, because he was a team. He is a team. He even said he is Baltimore. He always will be Baltimore. He's here. He's immortalized. He's there. And we can never truly move on. I mean, we're going to be able to see his basically his silhouette every Sunday when we're there, or anytime we got some free time. He's immortalized. He's got a statue, for goodness sakes, man. So again, I don't think we'll ever will move. He's one of those great icons where it's like a Derek Jeter of the Yankees, Cal Ripken of the Orioles. With these mainstays, it's that's the team. When you think of Ray Lewis, that's the Ravens, man. It's that's them. And I don't think that'll ever waver. And even years from now, especially when he's in the Hall of Fame in a few years, and even 20 years down the road, you're going to say Ray Lewis, and you're going to remember the Baltimore Ravens. You're not going to remember Ray Lewis as a player. He's always going to be linked to the city and forever in one. And you're right, man. And it's just great because they still play some sound clips and of his motivational words and his plays, and that helps. And again, you always remember the glory days, and I don't think they ever go away. And we always thank him for that. And again, he'll be immortalized in Canton with another statue of a bust in a few years, and we'll be up there for that. But that's another big event in its own right. But again, man, I agree with you on that. You know, it's definitely a missed thing, especially with, you know, with his reaction, Ray Rice, I was saying that it was personal name because he took these players in his wing. He was a mentor. He took Ray and other players under his wing, and he reached out to these guys because Ray was there. Ray went through the legal system. He went through the scrutiny, and he put that on his back, and he made it right. And I think with a lot of that, it's, you miss that father figure, you miss the, you know, the whole what would Ray do, or the whole, you know, what would Ray have to say. He was the spokesperson. He was the team. He's a born leader. And with that being gone, I don't think it has any bearing on the team's player, the team's way of handling things, whether it's the adversity with the race situation, whether it's going in Thursday's game and having the win. It has no bearing because they were on the cusp of going to the playoffs last year. They just missed it by one game, maybe two of that. They've had some great games since then, and I don't think it has anything because Harbaugh is a capable leader. I'm not discrediting John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh is great. I love his speeches. I love his words. He's a man of stature. He's a great head coach, and he's become one of the top head coaches in the league, and respectively so, and he's respected around the league and not to be taken lightly. And Joe Flacco's been vocal. How many times have we heard Joe Flacco speak up and speak his mind? And we had the leaders on offense. We had the leaders on the team. Suggs is a leader on defense. We have those young leaders and the veterans as well. So I think, again, all in retrospect, I think what this team's going to do is they're going to use his motivation. They're going to put it behind him, and then they know what's going to be done, because if they want to go anywhere this season, the time is now to win on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well said, man. What a long show that this might be the longest one we've ever done. I don't know.
Hey, man, it's been great, man. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say, you know, no, time shouldn't be a restraint for us, buddy, because I look at it this way. This is an action-packed week. It's a big week for the Ravens. A lot to be said, and a lot of people people were asking my opinions, and I kept saying, man, we're going to have a lot to talk about this week. And I even teased you about it. I said, get ready on Tuesday, and I'm glad I have a voice, because as of it started coming back yesterday, so I'm not going to have a voice again on Friday morning. So, but again, you know, it's one of those it's one of those things where, hey, we have to do it. We cover it because we're passionate about our team, passionate about our city. And again, rightfully so. This was a busy week for the Ravens in the shortest week possible. I don't even think anything else could happen other than a win. I mean, we had a tough loss on Sunday. A released player, not only that, but a star player under scrutiny at national news, and we have a national game against our biggest rival on Thursday. I think it can't get any bigger for us right now, man. So 2-hour show, 3-hour show, an all-day show, I don't care, because it's the call, and I love talking football with you, man. And I know everybody loves listening to us out there, and we appreciate that. And I don't think we can get enough of it.
No, absolutely not. So even though this was such a long show, is it possible, did we miss anything?
If we did not, I think there's not a chance at this point.
All right, very good. So before we head out of here, we're going to take a quick break right now, and this is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, not just the BSR Network. We are available all over the place. That's just one place you can check us out. We are also available completely for free on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as thecall.brandocash.com. We give you this show completely for free. You download it, you stream it for free. We do it for free out of the kindness of our hearts. So all you got to do is please let people know that you are a Ravens fan. You listen to The Call, and they should too. So be social on the web, on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the internet, let people know about The Call. Help us get even bigger. Don't forget, we have our own Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Also check out brandocash.com, and you'll get all the information about this show and all the other shows from Brando Cash Entertainment. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. It's Steelers week here in Baltimore. They're coming to town. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived. It is a short week, but it is Steelers week in Baltimore, man. I cannot wait. And as we've already mentioned, Suggs is always ready. He's got the garb for it. I mean, hey, you always got to jab at our Steelers and make fun of them. But it is a love-hate rivalry. There's always respect there, but we love to hate them. They love to hate us. And we can't wait till we see some of those towels invade the stadium, because we're going to make them put them away. Because why? Because we're going to do work. We're going to go work and put everything behind us and show them why we play the Ravens, why we put through adversity. Because as Ray always said, no weapon. And how many times have we used that in the last few years? And hey, if we can overcome a 4th and 29, if we can overcome a mile high miracle in Denver with the whole nation against us, and I just think maybe that we can get through this short week and we can take it to Pittsburgh. How about you? And I'm ready to rock. I will be there at the bank on Thursday night. We're going to bring it in, starting with a bang, and let's take it to the Steelers. I'm ready for them, and we're going to show them, hey, we mean business, and we're not going to be taken lightly. And Sunday was just a fluke, because we are here to play, and then we're going to play hard. And I totally agree, and I really can't wait to see what happens on Thursday. I know you're all ready. Let's get it going. Ravens, Steelers, prime time on Thursday night. 1, 2, 3. Let's Ravens fly high against these Steelers.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.